You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yep, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. We've had a great show so far, working the issues. And right now, going to one of my favorite moments of every single week. We call it the Grand Council. I bring in my brethren, Dale Jackson, the morning show guy and program director right here at WVNN. And then we also have Jeff Poor, our buddy down at FM Talk 106. Five on the coastal regions. Let me do a roll call. Dale Jackson, are you here?
Alabama's most trusted journalist checking in.
Okay, Dale Jackson is here. Jeff Poor, are you with us?
Alabama's most disappointed journalist checking in as well.
All right, I pronounce a quorum. Copper, I hope you have a sound effect ready because I'm telling you to hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. All right, fellas, you know the rules. We take turns asking questions back and forth to each other, seeing whether our conservative viewpoints align. We don't always agree, but we always love each other when we're done. That's what I say. Anyway, I'll take the first question this time. I am looking at a list right now, as a matter of fact, of the vast number of Republican legislative candidates who are, at this very moment, considering things like school choice bills and education budgets, and they are taking huge amounts of money for their races from the teachers' union, which the Republican Party has asked on their platform for their candidates never to take. Do you see this as a campaign issue if someone has a primary? I'll go to Jeff first.
Absolutely, but somebody's got to make it a campaign issue. Look at the qualifying list. I mean, there's a handful of challengers there. But I don't know that there's just anybody that's willing to run. Especially run against the AEA. I think they should. I think this is a big issue. And I think the AEA, even in a diminished form, has too much clout in this state. Or at least they act on behalf of the teachers union. They're doing their job. But no, somebody should run on it. But I'm skeptical that that will be a thing.
All right. Dale, what do you think, man?
Well, I think you're right, Jeff. I think that's exactly correct. I think that they should. I think some will try. But here's what we know. These guys are more spooked by the AEA than anything. I mean, that's just the reality. We can debate how powerful they are left and right. And I'd like to go next. I have a related question. But they are clearly spooked by the AEA more so than they are the threat of someone throwing the AEA in their face.
Yeah, and what's so interesting to me is it was not so long ago when I got elected with the 2010 class, and the AEA was it was antithetical to common sense to take money from the AEA, and the state party, like I said, still has a platform position that says don't do it, and yet I'm looking at this list right now of all these guys that I know. The guy who is actually in my old seat in Senate District 10. Senator Andrew Jones is one of the top recipients, $15,000 to his campaign from the AEA. Related question, Dale, you said.
How many AEA-affiliated lobbyists do you think there were in Montgomery yesterday?
I could speculate, but when you say AEA-affiliated, you mean like other associations like the AASB and others like that?
Or people about down there lobbying on behalf of AEA issues against school choice.
Oh, I guarantee you there was probably 50 or more trying to crowd into that public hearing. Is what I'm estimating. What do you, why you got an answer for me?
You're gonna, I have the exact number. It was 44. Oh. 44. Oh, Jeff, would you like to take a guess first? How many?
Jeff,
I'm
going to
guess
think,
44.
Man?
No, I was at the State House a lot yesterday. It was pretty wild, and you really saw a presence beyond just the hearing, guys. Just in the hallways and chasing down members. It was that, and it was also the permitless carry bill, but it was a chaotic scene yesterday.
Well, and that's what's so interesting to me is this bill should not be hard. This bill pulls the concepts of this bill. Now, the bill needs some tweaking. There's a couple of aspects of it that I think need to be resolved. But nonetheless, the concept of this bill pulls so high among Republicans and Democrats across all demographic lines And we're number 50 in the nation. So I had Dr. Wayne Reynolds on the show a little while ago, and I asked him, I said, Dr. Reynolds, you don't like the bill, but we're 50th in the nation. What is your plan? He had no plan. And that's what I'm so tired of, is we're 50th and ain't nobody got a plan. None of it. Anyway, Jeff, your question, man.
Should we have seen this coming? The permitless carry legislation getting watered down. You know, it's not as ideologically pure. It had all these sponsors on it. And then, as predicted, the sheriffs made their stand on Tuesday. I was in a hotel in Montgomery just full of sheriffs and sheriff deputies all over the place. And, you know, I got to tell you, they're trying to kill the bill. Shane Stringer, the chief sponsor of it, was trying to get signatures for it, but I feel like we should have seen this coming. I didn't see it coming, but it would face some kind of fate similar to this.
Well, and I'm not familiar with, when you say watered down, have there been amendments added to the bill already? Jeff, what are you saying?
Well, what they're trying to do, a couple of things that I think they're going to have to do to get the votes. There was some question about schools. If you want to conceal carry at a school or at an athletic event, at a venue, then you're going to have that permit. They're going to make you get that permit to do so. Otherwise, your Second Amendment rights change when you walk into a school, unless the school has some kind of prohibition, which I assume most do, on firearms. But they're watering it down where there's certain places that you still are going to have a permit in this state.
Well, which means that you're going to want to have a permit, period, so that you don't have to worry about whether you have to have a permit when you get there. That's what that means. Basically means that the bill is not truly the pure version of the bill that they said it was going to be. Dale, you want to weigh in?
I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from, but is that big of a deal? I mean, am I crazy here to think that doesn't really irk me all that much? Am I off base?
I think that the issue is they said it was a big deal. They said this is all about constitutional carry. They said this is all about what they were going to do, and then now they can't even get it past you know the committee structure. Dale, I think on one hand it is. Now I have a concealed carry permit. I have paid my share for years for the privilege of being able to carry concealed. And you know, I don't deny the fact that money in my local area goes to fund equipment for the deputies. But that being said, I think it's time for this concealed carry permit thing to go away. And if you're going to say it is, and you're going to talk about it being a part of your agenda, and even the Speaker of the House is all over it, and then you don't do it? Wow. Jeff, okay, you want to wrap your question?
Well, fair enough.
I'll just add to this. The sheriffs are probably going to make a stand. And you know, in these 67 counties, how politically powerful they are. It was just a matter of time. I knew they were going to wait till after the qualifying deadline, not to entice an incumbent to run on this. But, I mean, a challenger to run against an incumbent on that. But it just seems to me that they still carry the weight and strike fear in the heart of a lot of these legislators. And I think one of it in the House, I think the Senate gets it done, Gerald Allen's bill. The House probably gets it done, but it's going to be very much weaker than we had anticipated.
Wow. Okay. All right, that's all three of us for the first round. That's perfect timing. I'm going to go ahead and say, Copper, let's move to the break. Fellas, you hang, because we're going to come back and do another round of this. We're with the Grand Council right now. We got Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 down in our coastal regions of our state, and our own Dale Jackson from the morning show / program director position here at WVNN. I'm Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We are in a segment that I enjoy doing once a week on Thursday afternoons called the Grand Council. We're with Jeff Poore from 106.5 down on the coast, and we're with Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN. We opine and ping each other with questions. I'm taking the next one, guys. Senate Bill 140, Del Marsh, the Parents' Choice Act, came to life this week. He dropped it in. He got it out of committee yesterday. One amendment, which has a little bit of heartburn with some conservatives. But it's a school choice bill that literally would radically change the way we view tax dollars in this state for education and let parents have a say. AEA hates it. What do you see as the future of this bill? Will it pass? What do you think? I'll go Dale first this time.
No chance. That's what it's got. No chance in hell. It has no chance of doing it right now. But I would like to be proven wrong. I'd like to look at this like the vaccine mandate ban or the permitless carry, even though it's been watered down a little bit. Things that we were told would never happen. Maybe it doesn't happen this year. Maybe it happens next year. I think this year, though, no chance.
Jeff Rowe?
Happened, but it's still important. You're going to set up the skirmishes when this issue finally does get some time. I think it's, laying the groundwork, knowing who the players are, knowing who's going to stick up for the AEA, and knowing what you've got ahead of you in the next quadrennium. So it's still a very important gesture from Senator Marsh.
Yeah, and by the way, Jeff, I think your opening words got cut off. So you're saying you don't think it will pass this session?
No, I don't think it's going to pass. I agree with Dale.
Okay, well, right now I'm very pragmatic. I'm hopeful just because there's more momentum on it than there's ever been. I also know I've seen what can happen when Dale Marsh gets animated. But he's also not the pro tem anymore. And that he should have done this in year one of the quadrennium if he was going to really move it.
Agreed.
And I wish he had. That being said, what I hope that some people will take into account, and by the way, this is just Phil Williams. Nobody has said anything to me, no sidebar conversations. But what I hope some of these weak-kneed, noodle-spined, money from the AEA Republicans will consider is that Dale Marsh has as much money as God. And when he gets out of the Senate, he may very well form a PAC and start funding people that will actually fight for education. I'm not going to be a bit surprised if he doesn't do that. So there's that. Who's next? Dale, you're next.
Is there anything more terrifying than what the sentence I'm about to say? Jim Ziegler, His Excellency, the counter of votes. Is there anything scarier than Jim Ziegler, Secretary of State?
I think maybe Jim Ziegler, Governor of Alabama, would have been this.
I don't even know. I don't think that's right, Phil, because I'll tell you, put that guy on MSNBC and say, hey, defend this latest controversy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Well, Jeff, weigh in, man. What are you thinking?
No, I mean, I'm not going to say it's scary. I don't underestimate Jim Ziegler. He may have been a clown outside of being an auditor, but he was a pretty decent auditor for what the constitutional duties prescribed. So I'm not as terrified. I guess I would be terrified in front of a TV camera with him, but other than that, I mean, I think you're a lot. There are far worse possibilities.
And I'll be honest with you, I'll come back to my comments and agree, because I do think that, if MSNBC wants to do an interview with the Secretary of State of Alabama about a voting rights bill that has got liberals up in arms and Jim Ziegler is the face of it, it's going to be a difficult conversation. But that being said, the man's no dummy. And Jeff's right. He did a pretty fair job as an auditor. So we'll see. What, Dale, I mean, obviously you don't think it's a good idea.
It's a terrible idea. Say what you want about John Merrill and all of his issues that he has. I'd put that guy up against any MSNBC host anytime with the pride of Alabama on the line. Jim Ziegler, I don't feel the same. Because I have a feeling he'll get up there and be like, well, let me tell you something. Maybe we'll meet at the Confederate White House and have this conversation. No thank you.
Last question. Jeff, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to take it up to y'all's neck in the woods. Y'all tell me what's going on in the Tom Butler, Bill Holtzclaw, whoever the Democrat is, that Senate race up there. What does that look like, and what do you think is going to happen?
Dale.
I think Butler waltzes to victory. I'll just be honest. I think that this is not 2010. I think Butler has a legacy there. I have a feeling Holtzclaw would have beat him, let me just say this. It's not 2010. The reality is this. He's been a good legislator. I think he's got a good chance of getting reelected. The Democrat is in a race where it's been drawn a little bit more Democrat than it was before, but this is a different year. Tom Butler is no longer wearing the stain of a converted Democrat to Republican. He's a hardcore Republican now. I don't think he has much to worry about. But that race could be fun to watch.
I think it's going to be fun to watch because one of the things that that I know to be true about Bill Holtzclaw is the man will work.
Yep.
And he's got that Marine Corps mindset that says that sleep is highly overrated, and he'll just get out there and do it. And I think he's got the opportunity, depending upon how he styles this race, is to basically say, when I was there, I helped kill the gas tax, which he and I sat next to each other on the floor of the Senate for 8 years, and we both were the two no votes, I think, that actually crushed the first version of the gas tax. And yet, you know, the gas tax got passed once the new crew came in. And, you know, we'll see. But nonetheless, I don't know yet how that race is going to play out. But I do not think it's going to be a waltz. I disagree with that view. I think it's going to be game on for the next few months, is what I think. If Holtzclaw can get some money, I think he's got a chance to make something of it. What you got?
Let me just add something real quick. I think Butler's going to be very well funded. The Holtzclaw's got some enemies down at Air Montgomery. Butler's going to have a lot of money backing him, so that could be also be a challenge for Bill Holtzclaw.
I don't disagree. I already noticed that the Inside Alabama Politics, written by Todd Stacey, referred to Bill Holtzclaw and those like him, which would be me, as having had antics that people were tired of while we were down there, which meant that we voted against the establishment. So yeah. All right, fellas, that's another round of Grand Council. Appreciate you as always. Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5 from down in the Mobile Baldwin County area. And our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN. Solid as always, fellas.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's it. We're going to our break. It is Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, and we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. And we'll be right back.